Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
I think at 16-0, you guys will forgive me for going live a little bit earlier than the baseball game has ended tonight. Welcome in. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you guys are with me. We're talking football tonight. Pete Golding talked to the media today. Couple of things that stood out in that press conference. Number one, Jonte Cook. He had two answers, long answers. About the incoming wide receiver from Texas / Syracuse. Also, just interesting outline of what a game week schedule looks like. I don't know. I learned something in that as well. Also commented on his relationship with his GM, Austin Thomas. All that and more coming up on this edition of the show. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I always appreciate you guys being here. Yes, we are efforting getting Pete on the radio show. We will, of course, visit with him at SEC Media Days later this year as well. So looking forward to that. But interesting stuff from Pete Golding. Baseball dominating. There's really not much else. Look, they just keep momentum rolling. This is you really, other than, you know, maybe taking out some pent-up anger because of what happened last season. You're supposed to win games like this, and you're doing it and doing it very comfortably. Judd Uttermark tied a record. All is good tonight. Momentum is just still building for Ole Miss. And you look around the country, some top 25 teams are losing, not yours, not tonight. So that's good. But we'll talk football after I invite you. Please to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, leave a like, a comment, and hit that notification bell. I would appreciate you doing all of those things. And this edition is presented by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got literally everything that you can think of that you need for your farm, including animal feed. And also, by the way, got a kick out of one of the tours that we got when we were up there, the exotic animal feed. Like, if you have kangaroos, they got you. I mean, that's what I, when I say everything that you can think of, that's what I mean. They have kangaroo feed at Scruggs, kangaroo feed. But also, I mean, great clothes, the cheapest beer in town, a great boot selection, fishing, home furnishings, home improvement for your farm, for your yard, and also, most importantly, the John Deere lawnmower or tractor that you need. It's a spring sales event. Whether you're a pro or you own a farm or some hunting property or just a yard like me, they've got deals this spring that you need to jump on and jump on fast. 0% for 36 months, 0% financing, 36 months on all commercial mowers, 1.9% for 36 months on all John Deere Gators. And if you got heavy lifting to do, 0% for 72 months on compact tractors and select John Deere 5 Series tractors. They are valid through the end of the month. You got 9 more days. Do not wait. Visit 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo at Scruggs. They have what you want for less. All right. Some video clips. I will start with what brought you here. Two cuts on Jonte Cook, the wide receiver, again, from Texas, from Syracuse, was asked about him specifically, and then a follow-up question about him, and because of the multiple school thing, do you have to recruit players differently or have to evaluate them differently because they've bounced to multiple schools? Here's the first. He was just asked about Jonte Cook specifically, how he's coming along, and here was Pete Golding's answer.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's played a bunch of football, which I think is really, really important. So when you've been in multiple systems like he has, been to three different schools prior to this, like there's a lot of same as, you know, we might call it red, they call it blue, but it's the same, You know, so from a football standpoint, they come in a little ahead of the curve. But I think the tempo component of it and things like that obviously have been a transition for them. But I think those guys that have played a lot of football, it's a lot easier to come in and adapt and be able to say same as. But he's just really special with the ball in his hands. And so I think JDB and them do a good job of scheming them open or getting the ball in space as an extension of the run game. And there's some one-on-one scenarios that they like versus safeties and backers that are advantageous for us. So I think number one is experience. Number two, short area quickness, right? Rack ability, right? Ability after contact. I think he's almost like a back with the ball in his hands. And then you still got the man concept. If he's one-on-one with a safety, right, that could be a matchup problem from a vertical standpoint. So a lot of versatility in his game.
With the return.
All right, so there is that. That question was not the follow-up. That came later that I'll play for you in a second. So that was just like, hey, how's Jontae Cook coming along? You hear a lot of good things out of practice. Here is the follow-up question, and I loved the question and the answer that you get from Pete Golding. So here is him on the follow-up question about Jontae Cook and multiple school transfers and things like that.
But going back to Jontae, do you have to evaluate a guy who is on his fourth school differently?
You know, so like I think that's my benefit of having been Division II and 1AA. Like we were in this transfer market way before there was a transfer portal, you know, because back in the day you could transfer down and be immediately eligible. So we lived in this model for a long time, and those were normally our best players. And a lot of the times there are reasons they were transferring to Division II or 1AA is they didn't do it right where they were at. And some of them, that was multiple different spots, you know. But I always feel like if guys really love football, they really love football, and they realize, holy shit, this is my last shot, they'll change. If they don't love football, then they won't, in my opinion. And there's nothing that you could do, whether you take their money or take football away from them, because it doesn't matter, to get them to change behavior. But over the history of being D2, 1AA, and even mid-major, like we've had a lot of success with guys that have made bad decisions at other place, and they're on their last opportunity to really be able to focus in and lock in and try to increase their value because they know it's their last shot. I think you got to be really smart if the kid loves football, has got a high football IQ that could come in and process it in time, knowing you're rolling the dice a little bit on some of the flags, obviously, that have occurred at other places. And then I think a lot of those are, what was that, you know, was it a maturity issue, right? And none of us are perfect. We've all made plenty of mistakes, and I've made more than most. So a lot of the times I can relate because I've been there and done that probably. And I think that's the best thing about the SEC, the amount of resources that you have to provide to help and whatever the issues have been. So to me, I'm not worried about it as long as they love football. Yep.
So a lot to unpack there. And by the way, Jontae Cook, not the only player on this team or anywhere close to it that is kind of on that last chance type situation. I mean, you've got one on the other side of the ball right now with Jaheim Otis, uber talented player out of high school, went to Alabama. I mean, all the things ends up just not being able to figure it out. And this is kind of a last chance for him as well. So you hope a similar phenomenon exists. But hearing the talk about Jontae Cook is and should be very encouraging for you because the talent has always been there. He was a five-star out of high school. There's a reason Texas signed him. He is an elite ceiling-type player, and there's just been something, as Pete Golding made reference to in his press conference, there's something with a lot of players. Sometimes it's a maturity thing. It takes them a little while. Sometimes they make a mistake, whatever. I mean, I'll be honest. I hate 19-year-old me. Hell, I hate 21, 22-year-old me. It took me a long time to grow up, and you could probably argue that I haven't completely grown up yet. But some guys just take longer for the light bulb to come on than others. And from listening to Pete Golding talk about Jontae Cook, when it comes to his ability on the football field, the explosiveness, vision, and things like that, the talent that you always knew was there. But when it turns into, okay, this guy's had to bounce around, he's had some stuff, and now he has finally figured it out. That's what you hope, right? When you hear him talk, he's finally figured it out, that he knows that, hey, you know, this is kind of like a last shot. You're super talented, and here's a great opportunity in a great offense with a great quarterback, and you can become a star. And it sounds like from listening to him as well, Jonte Cook also spoke today, and from listening to him and listening to his head coach, sounds like that light bulb has come on. And if that light bulb has come on, then Ole Miss has a star possibly in Jonte Cook at wide receiver. And I mean, if you listen to what people are saying, there's a chance that they have rather dramatically upgraded in the slot with what they've got, in particular with Jonte Cook. We will see. So really good stuff there from Pete Golding. Next couple of things I've got for you. This is a short one. He was just asked a simple, generic question. What positions stand out to you that have improved the most so far in spring practice?
Several. Obviously, you've got so many new guys at so many new spots. And so, obviously, the more that they play, the better that they get, the more comfortable that they get. So, I think the linebacker room's really come on. I think the front, the pieces that we've added, are starting to really understand it. I think the receiver room's improving with every practice that we get, the understanding of the offense and being able to play fast with tempo. And so I think, you know, a lot of multiple groups have improved.
Linebacker, linebacker, linebacker. Anytime anybody talks about this team and practices and who's standing out, and it always goes back to linebacker. I mean, it's really been since Chance Campbell, Mark Robinson, that people have talked about that position group in this way. And there's a chance that the ceiling of it is even higher than that duo. But that duo was awesome. So, I know that's just kind of a throwaway answer, a very short answer. But that's what you hear, man. Linebacker, 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 linebacker. All the time, every conversation, it is all about linebackers. I accidentally deleted one before I got to play it for you. See if I can get it uploaded in time. All right, three more, as long as that one gets uploaded. Here's this one was interesting to me. I don't know if this matters to you guys or not, but he said that this week they are essentially doing a game week for a lot of reasons, and he explained some of them in this clip, but that they're doing a game week because they're trying to make sure the staff is on the same page on how they do it, how they practice, how they self-scout, all that stuff. But also he kind of lays out what, you know, Sunday looks like this, Monday looks like this, Tuesday looks like this. It was interesting to me. See what you guys think about this.
We bring them in on Sundays instead of Mondays, put the previous game to bed, get a workout in, make sure we see from an injury standpoint exactly where we're at. Monday's their day off. Get the week started right academically and everything like that. Allows the coaches to build a game plan Monday. And then Tuesday we come back in and we work base downs, implement the short yardage goal line plan with special teams in the kicking game, kickoff and punt. And then we'll come back on Wednesday with a third down red zone emphasis and then be able to clean up our base downs. And then we'll go into our Thursdays, which is a complete mental sweat, meetings and walks. And then come back Friday and play the game, you know, as far as a fast Friday and work backed up over the field into low red into goal line and hit all those scenarios and then make sure, you know, from a script standpoint that we're in situations that can occur in the game, last plays and things like that. And then obviously you'd have your Friday night meetings and then go into a game. So the only thing that we're not actually going to do is play the game. So it's a little unique this week because from a scouts team standpoint, you're just playing the opposing team, right? So we're playing each other. So, but we're still breaking up into scout periods. So the guys right now that wouldn't be on a travel roster if we were to play this week have a sense of urgency and feel and know exactly where they're at. And so prior to this week, it was really important to have player evals and let them know what they're doing well, what they're not doing well, what's the plan of improvement this week. And if we were to go to play Florida on the road and it's a 74-man travel roster, this is what it's going to look like right now. So you better wake up and get to work. So it's been really good as a staff as well to make sure we're going through all of our personnel and everything and getting depth charts of where we'd be right now and making sure we're using our pieces effectively from packages and all those things. So it's been good.
All right. So that was just interesting to me. I don't know if that spoke to you guys or not, but also that last part. It's what the spring portal going away allows for you to do. Actually have real conversations with your players of here's where you actually are. Here's where you stand. Get your ass in gear, you know. Two more, and then we'll get to your comments. This one on Austin Thomas, his new GM.
There's a lot of history, obviously, with Austin, you know, having when I worked with Frank at UTSA, Austin came in and really helped set up all of our recruiting department and all that. And that was kind of my first real interaction with him and seeing him work. He wasn't working for us, but really came in on behalf of Frank and got us kind of off the ground and rolling. Was super impressed with how organized he was and his plans and attention to detail and all that. And then his little brother actually worked for me for a while. And then, you know, when I came here in 23, he was already the GM here. And so I was able to work with him already and see him in that role. I just really admired, you know, his organization and how he treated people. And he's got a really good football mind from an organizational standpoint and from recruiting and player development and all that. So always had a lot of respect for him. Thought he's always done a really, really good job everywhere he's been. But, you know, to me, it was the comfort zone at that position I wanted to do that I could really, really trust. That's a good human being, right? That's had a lot of experience in this league and doing it at a high level. So, yeah, I love everything about Austin.
That makes me wonder if Dabo was being truthful about what Austin Thomas said about Pete Golding. Maybe that was lost in translation a little bit. Anyway, all right, last one for you. He was asked about the transfer defensive ends in particular and what he sees in them so far this spring.
Yeah, I think Coach Kitch has done a really good job with that group. It's two guys, again, that you mentioned that have come and played a lot of football. And I think the transition probably for Purchase more than anybody has been the easiest based on very similar schemes, right, on playing the same position, doing a lot of the same things. So there's been a lot of same as for him, but that dude's a pro, man. He reminds me so much of Anfernee Jennings that we had at Alabama. That's just tough, competitive. He loves football. He's super smart. And so I think he's got a super bright future. So it's been really nice. Very rarely, in my opinion, do new guys come in and have the leadership ability immediately because they're so focused on, man, I got to learn what to do, right, to kind of come in and take in the surroundings and try to adapt and kind of fit in. But that's just not how he's wired. But he does it the right way, man. Like, he works his ass off and practices extremely hard, and he leads by example, but he's got the maturity and the experience, right, to bring these young guys with him. And I think it's super beneficial for the Landons of the world and the Trays of the world and all these young guys in there to see a guy prepare the right way and practice the right way and also treat people with respect has been really, really good. I think Maldonado is continuing to improve every day. I mean, there's flashes. Like, he so reminds me of Davenport that we had at UTSA at times, a corner and in his length, and made a huge pick six today. Just a three-step throw, just elevates. He's 6'5 already and picks it and takes it to the house. So he athletically, he's got a skill set that's very, very unique. He's continuing to become comfortable in the scheme, but Kitch is doing a really good job with that.
Anfernee Jennings and Marcus Davenport. If that is what they are, then great job. But no, seriously, I think that considering the timing of when Prince Will left, very last minute, to have added what they've added at edge/defensive end was really impressive, again, considering the timing of all of that. So we'll get to your comments. That was Pete Golding. I hope you guys liked that. I like clipping them rather than just playing the whole thing. I think it's easier that way, and hopefully you guys like that. But we will get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith at Shelter Insurance. He can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. So if you're in this state, doesn't matter where, he's got you covered for all of your auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Auto, home, life, or business insurance. Give him a call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Even if you have insurance, it's still worth a phone call, right? It's just, what's 5 minutes out of your day? You're going to get a great rate. You're going to get a great service. And when you do call, tell them that it was me that sent you to him. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, for all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day. Local loan servicing and decision making, 16 locations here in this state. Online banking platform, that's awesome. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. And also Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. If you're a Mississippi business in need of office technology, that is where you get it. I guess first comment, I guess if you have nothing else to do as a student on a Tuesday, it's a comfy night at Swayze. Yeah, it was probably a lot of fun. You had to throw a lot of beer, but that's okay. Yeah, comfortable night at the ball yard, especially when you look around. Not everybody is having a comfortable night at the ball yard. Alabama just lost to UAB. I mean, it's just going and going right now. Jonte Cooke equals Elijah Moore 2.0 potentially. Yeah. Murray State just needs to forfeit. No, they kind of were owed one, weren't they? A buddy was asked you this earlier today, if you could have three players in Ole Miss history to add to this team this season, who would it be? I said Tunsil, Nolan, and flipped between Patrick Willis and A.J. Brown. That's a good question. Three players in Ole Miss history to add to this team. Laramie Tunsil is for sure one. For sure. I mean, Greg Little was the next highest drafted offensive lineman, right? Gosh, I wish I knew the history better. So Terrence Metcalf was a third round pick. He was a guard anyway. Was there a higher selected tackle? Because if doesn't matter, two tackles, Laramie Tunsil and Greg Little, at least in modern program history, are definitely two of mine. Because I just think they're so good at so many other spots. Mike Hilton, I think, would be a very sneaky selection that I think I would go with. Maybe Mike Hilton. Trey Amos on this team would be special. But no, I'm going Hilton. The two tackles in Mike Hilton. That's where I go. Where does the men's basketball team go from here? I'm still going to wait. I know I said that last time, but I'm going to wait until we know how it's been rounded out before make a sweeping judgment. But again, it doesn't look particularly good right now. I can't believe that they went from Sweet 16 to only winning 12 regular season games to this. It's crazy how quickly that fell apart, and they don't appear to be a particularly popular destination in the transfer portal right now. Do you want baseball sent out their regional projections? Ole Miss hosting as the 14th seed. That's probably a 16-14 finish. Interestingly, had Southern Miss hosting and not Mississippi State. I do. Southern Miss's RPI is in really good shape right now. The problem that they're going to run into, Southern Miss, is they have some sub-100 RPI series upcoming. And that's a problem because you have to sweep them. And they can. They just swept Texas State. But you have to sweep them. They have to sweep multiple weekends upcoming. And Coastal Carolina, also out of the Sun Belt, probably going to host. And I mean, if Mississippi State gets back on track, I would also be surprised if three Mississippi teams get a host site as well. So on this team, you would add Patrick Willis. Yeah, I mean, that's an obvious one also. I think they're better at linebacker. Like, Willis would obviously add, right? He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. I think why I didn't choose Willis, though, is because I am extremely high on what they have at linebacker. And, maybe I'm just not thinking clearly. I don't know. I remember Mike Hilton as a guy that never made mistakes. He was always in the right spot, and he always made the tackle. And at his height and size, he spent a long, long time in the NFL. I just think Hilton would add more to the secondary than Willis would add to the linebacker room. I think. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly, but Evan Engram would also be a quality addition at tight end. Yeah. Thoughts on the fan colors? Don't like the stripe out for LSU or wearing white in the middle of the season. Yeah, I don't like stripe outs. I am very anti-stripe out. I didn't like it for Tulane in the playoff. I don't like them. I think you do them well. Like, fan participation in them, you do a good job. So credit to you for that, because not every fan base does a good job with color coordinating. You guys do a good job. I just don't think it looks that good, personally. And then, yeah, a whiteout for Missouri, whose fans are going to be wearing black mostly, they'll stand out like a sore thumb. I don't love that either. But oh well. I mean, I think I would do red basically every home game, and, you know, blend at home, stand out on the road. It's always got to be the thing. So, like, when you're playing Auburn, that's when you do a Navy game, right? Maybe do a powder game against like Kentucky or something, but you blend as much as you can at home, and one solid color around the stadium is what it needs to be. I don't like stripe outs at all. I've just never been a fan. Mike with the super chat. Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate you, man. Really, really, helpful and, unnecessary, but thank you. You say having gold medalist Matty Tkachuk wear an Ole Miss hoodie on national TV for his brother's playoff game was a big effing deal. Good for hockey and the Ice Rebs, who need more attention than they get. Yeah, that was really cool. I guess brought him to a game in 2015. Wasn't that the story that one of his really good friends is an Ole Miss fan and brought him to a game and he just loved it, and he's a big college football guy. Whoever that friend is, I would love for you to help me pull some strings to get Matt Tkachuk on the radio show, because I would just love to talk to a guy that has had the career that he has had, and Olympic gold medalist and Stanley Cup champion, all that stuff. Yes, I would love that. But yeah, thank you, Mike. Really appreciate you, man. This weekend could tell us if this baseball team is playing for a regional host or a top eight seed. They take two this weekend, and they're 12-9 with a top five RPI. 7-13 could get 17-13 could get them there. Yes, but on the flip side, I don't know what a series loss does here either. Again, all they have to do is play 500 baseball in league play for the rest of the year, and they're hosting. So, for what it's worth, Georgia Tech run ruled Georgia 14-4 at the Brave Stadium. Yet it wasn't on TV. What a joke that is. Personally, you like the stripe out? Oh, the Missouri game's the real tree game? Okay. I got to see what the real tree pattern is. I'm sure it'll look great. This last year's I really liked a lot. What you don't like is Georgia being a red game. I understand why you do that, but I think it's silly. No, man, you're crazy. Blend at home. You want the stadium to all at home. You want the whole thing to look like it's you. Stand out on the road, blend at home. If you did navy or powder blue for the Georgia game, the Georgia fans, and they do travel well. Now, again, when you sell out season tickets, it's hard for other fans to, you know, go to games because there's just not a very high supply. But they would stand out. You don't want them to stand out. Ole Miss has not lost a game wearing real tree. How about that? There's your stat of the day. Powder for LSU would have been cool. I'd have just done red again. But they did not ask me. Yes, in the stadium always looks best in red. That stadium looks best. 2:30 kickoff with the crowd wearing red is when Hemingway Stadium looks its best. Mississippi sunsets, man. The golden hour with the red stadium, it just does something. It just does something to me. Here's a question. Quit scheduling Memphis, and I assume they'll stop scheduling Tulane as well. don't schedule Southern Miss either. Why don't they schedule schools like UAB or South Alabama? Well, they do. Let's see. And now the SEC going to 9 conference games has altered the future football schedule a little bit. But let's see. So next year, it's Charlotte again. So they have Charlotte this year, Charlotte next year. Oregon State is on the schedule next year. That's awesome. South Alabama in 2028. South Alabama in 2029. The return trip to Oregon State in 2030. That might be a trip that I want to make. Go play Bandon Dunes. Ooh, buddy. Okay, hold on. I'm going to do this out loud. So 2030. My son will be 10. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to that game. Can you even get on Bandon Dunes? $300 per round in the peak season, but it drops significantly in the fall. Games in October. I've already planned a trip for 2030. Thank you, Austin, for inspiring me to look at that. Yes. James will be 10. We're going to go play Bandon Dunes and then go to that game. That's what we're going to do. But anyway, you got Oregon State, Georgia Southern, Jacksonville State on the schedule, at Virginia Tech in 2032, Purdue on the schedule. So, yeah, they're playing some of those games. I do think there is value in playing Tulane because you have a fan base in New Orleans and it's a fun trip and your fans love it. Love that they're winning in ranked and love the parity in college basketball. Think it's a major college sport that NIL doesn't impact. Or baseball, sorry. Love that they're winning in ranked and love the parity in college baseball. Think it's the last major college sport that NIL doesn't impact in a way as visible as college football yet. Oh, it still impacts it, though. It still impacts it. But you're right. I mean, baseball's still so volatile that it allows for lesser teams to still win at a high level because of just how the sport works. Austin with the super chat. Thank you, man. Thank you. Really appreciate you. My brother's a big Gator fan who's very in touch with Florida sports. He says if TG takes the Warriors job, then UF would panic and offer Beard the job. I think your brother's kind of nuts because Billy Donovan just stepped down in Chicago, didn't he? A lot of people are connecting those dots. Billy Donovan retires, Warriors job coming open. They're interested in Golden. Bang, bang, bang. I would take Billy Donovan in New Orleans right now. Speaking of colors, I'd like them to reduce the powder uniforms to a select few games a year and wear more traditional navy helmet, gray pants. RIP still to the traditional white / red away jersey. Yeah, So I love the powder blue. I love the powder helmets. I would wear that with red jerseys often and the gray pants. I think that's a great look. I love the powder blue. I think that because of the historical component of the program, it's a great addition. It's got an interesting story. Your legends wore powder blue on their uniforms, but I do think that it can be dialed back some. The road white jerseys with the powder blue accents, get rid of those. Go back to the red ones. I would put it into the rotation as not the dominating one, as an equal one. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? That it's an equal uniform, not the uniform, and the others show up. It would be an equal one. Willis was a leader of leaders. He's an awesome guy. You like the idea of Ole Miss being the organ of the SEC, get a New Jersey color every game. See, and I am, anytime somebody talks about, well, it's not the traditional uniform. Ohio State does throwback jerseys. I mean, they wore for the Michigan game once an all gray weird thing. They do all kinds of jersey, new jerseys, throwbacks, alternates, etc. If they're not too good for it, nobody in the sport is too good for it, considering how iconic their uniforms are and what their brand is. You don't want to be Penn State. Penn State's boring as hell. But there is a happy medium. Stripe out does look better at night, I agree. Ole Miss is good at back, but could you imagine Kiwan and Deuce sharing carries? Chambliss would have the easiest job in the country. Yeah. Keep using last year's real tree for now. It's a really good one. Red Stadium with the team in powder jerseys. Yes, the LSU game on Eli Manning jersey retirement day, that was a great aesthetic. Thoughts on the perceived inevitability of the 2014 playoff in the next few years? We're obviously getting 16 next season, are we? It's going to go to 24 because that's what the networks want, and everybody's just desperate for more money, even though, like, South Carolina spent $202 of the $203 million that they generated last year, and they will try to tell you that they're strapped for cash and all that stuff. It's so – I don't know why people in my business have not done an ounce of digging into the budgets and why there's no money. I don't know why. Nobody's willing to be honest about how recklessly college athletic departments spend money. And then they turn around and tell you that there's not enough and we got to stop players from this and we got to restrict that because there's no money. And yet you look at their spending and it is absurd what they're spending on sports that don't make any money. And like, yeah, building a water fountain in the football facility is stupid too, but at least football makes money. But when you are losing millions on sports and you keep adding to what you're losing, but nobody's willing to talk about that. It drives me crazy. So they're all desperate for money because they recklessly spend and they're not going to dial back their reckless spending. So yeah, they're going to end up going to 24, I guess, but especially when the SEC realizes how bad it messed up this year, not getting the playoff format that they wanted before they added the 9 conference game, and there's going to be more losses for the league, as we've talked about before. I don't like it. I don't like 24 teams. I think it's too many. You're going to have teams that don't belong. You are, at that point, going to diminish the regular season to some degree, and nobody's asking for it, really. No fans are asking for it. No fans want this. And yet it's going to be shoved down our throat. And then, oh, by the way, Ross Dellinger has an article today where a committee put together by the White House is wanting to explore getting to 24 teams. And then possibly Congress will get involved because that's what we need. That's what we want. Imagine how good the backfield will be if Shakai Mills, Knight, and Yates come along this season. May have the best in the SEC. I mean, that backfield is really loaded. I mean, with Frazier and Dye as well, the two transfers. Whew. Name two SEC teams you think will overachieve and underachieve this season. It depends on your definition of underachieve with this one, but I think Auburn is going to be stinky. For whatever that's worth. So I don't know if anybody really has high expectations for them. But I think Auburn's going to be bad. Texas A&M would be a team that I would put in the underachieve category. Overachieve. Vanderbilt, depending on what you think that they are supposed to be. I mean, people think without Pavia, they're just going to go right back into the bottom of the league. I don't agree with that. South Carolina, possibly better than people are going to give them credit for. Want to see a red helmet for the hell of it? Why not? Either they're the Oregon or the SEC or not. I've seen some concepts, and I don't know. I don't know how I felt about it. It kind of made me feel weird. Why can't they have multiple road jerseys? Good question. I don't know that answer. It makes no sense to me. Underachieve LSU, Alabama. Overachieve Kentucky and Florida. Ooh, Kentucky's a good one. Kentucky is a good one. You missed the Mississippi Seawolves games for $5. They changed their name, didn't they? What'd they change their name to? The Biloxi Breakers. Last time I looked, they were like very in last place in whatever league they were in. I don't like their, I like their old logo and stuff better. Let's see. Schedule. Standings. Where are the Biloxi Breakers in the standings? Have they gotten better? No, they have. Wait, the season just started. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, that's playoffs. Regular season. No, they finished last. Oh my gosh. They went 6-46. Oh my gosh. They went 6-46. That's unbelievable. That's just too far, unfortunately, for us to go regularly. But I love minor league hockey, man. I really do. I hope it's working. But when you're going 6-whatever, it's you're probably going to have a hard time making that work. But if you want a Biloxi Breakers sweater, you can get one for $174. Goodness. Anyway, sorry. Went down a rabbit hole there. Also, over under 1.5 SEC football coaching changes. Oh, over. Over. I mean, there's a lot of new faces in this league, though. But, I mean, Beamer's on a flaming hot seat. Lebby's on a hot seat. DeBoer's kind of on a hot seat. Oklahoma has a bad year. I guess he could. Sark, if they miss the playoffs. And also, you know, guys do get hired away. So, yeah, I'll take over. Tell me more. I do not know what Neil and Chase said about Louisville this morning. And then you have LSU dropping a cool $300 million in the span of a year. Exactly. But there's no money, though. There's no... See, it's stuff like that, Edward. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You've got those people that will tell you that, oh, it's out of control, right? There's no money. You've got to save college sports. You got to save it. And they spent what they spent to fire coaches and hire new ones and build rosters, and then they'll tell you that there's no money. But then go look at their books. Go look at what they're spending on sports that don't make any money and how recklessly these departments spend on unnecessary things. And somebody one day needs to look at the financials of college sports and contextualize it for people just so you know when they raise your season ticket prices and they turn around and blame players for it, they are BS. They're gaslighting you. It's they recklessly spend insane salaries, insane travel, insane spending, and they won't, they can't end that. They just have to get more from you. You believe ESPN and Fox don't like the people who cover college athletics talking about the money being spent? They still want to trick people into thinking it's an amateur game still, probably. You like Kentucky's new coach? I do, too. Think injuries skyrocket with the 2014 playoff. I mean, you've got the FCS already plays that with, you know, 22 fewer scholarships to offer. So, Texas A&M won't have the benefit of the soft schedule, so there's an easy underachievement. Yeah, I think quarterback play is going to bite them too. You would like to see the gray uniforms come back? Let's see. DeBoer will get the Michigan job. Well, remember, they just hired Whittingham, although I don't think he's going to be there particularly long. I think he'll retire in the near distant future. Essentially, Louisville's running at a $12 million operational loss after they had $30 million in losses from the reserve, borrowing money at an unsustainable level, too. Look, I mean, I believe that 100% that's happening. Pat Forty did a story. Okay, I need to look at that. But if you looked at their books, they're not being as efficient as possible. They're not. None of these departments are maximizing their efficiency. None of them are. But, oh well. You say crazy. Golding said he will not have another coaching job. If Ole Miss fires him tomorrow, he would retire. I don't know if I buy that part, but I do believe that he does not view the job the same way his predecessor did. They view the jobs that they had slash have differently. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. So anyway. All right, guys, I'm going to hang it up. Really appreciate you being here as you always are. Thank you. Thank you. Thursday, we will go live after the draft ends. I want to watch the draft, if that's okay with you guys. So we'll go live after the first round of the draft on Thursday night. Whenever it ends, that's when we will go live. I will see you then. You guys have a great night, and I'll see you on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.